What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one live streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, DJ About Business. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Good people, DJ About Business here. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I got the name DJ About Business because my name is Daniel Jackson About Business. I just happen to be a DJ. But the DJ About Business is Daniel Jackson About Business.
Awesome, brother. Super excited to have you here on the My DJ Story podcast, man. So we want to hear your story about your journey as a DJ, and in hopes that your story helps other DJs in their journey as well. So, brother, tell me a little bit about what sparked your interest to become a DJ and kind of walk us through that journey leading up to where you are today.
Okay. So I grew up as a PK, pastor kid. So I was in church all day, every day, 7 days a week, pretty much. As a musician also, play drums, keyboard, bass, guitar. So all I knew was church, church, church. But when my mom would let me go to my aunt's house, you know, all I knew was Beastie Boys and Slick Rick and, you know, Dougie Fresh. And that's what I'm hearing over there. So that's what kind of sparked my interest, first of all, when it came to DJing. I'm like, yo, how are they doing this? And then we had a company here back in Atlanta called Oomph Camp DJs. And so they would make all these mixtapes. My aunt had every last one of them. So I'm like, yo, how are they mixing the instrumental of one song to the word, the acapella, the words of another song? And it really, you know, piqued my interest. And so I still never thought about DJing. I just figured, you know, I would be doing something musically. I would be on the road, probably playing drums or, you know, bass guitar or something behind the artist. Never thought about DJing. And I was on the road with an artist, and he DJed by the name of Tukrum. And he was on the road, and I was his MD at the time. And so he would DJ in between sets. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, show me what you're doing, man. I'm like, you know, this, I'm kind of interested in it, but I just don't know where to start. And so he showed me, you know, a little bit just to how to blend, you know, two or three songs together. He said, you want to try it? I said, I think, but I'm not sure. And he was like, man, he'll try it. So I got on, I blended like two songs together. I turned around to tell him, like, hey, man, here you go. Come get back on your set. But he was gone. We was in front of a crowd of 10,000 people. And I'm like, yo, it was almost like a sink or swim type of situation. So that's how it all happened. Real talk.
Nice, man. No, that's super exciting. It seemed like you just got thrown right into the fire. And that's how you learn quick, man. You really are able to just get right into it and just do your thing. And like you said, sink or swim. So I'm glad that you were able to swim and not sink, man. That's super exciting, man. So what we're going to do, we're going to jump into a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to dive deeper into your story and learn a little bit about the things that you learned throughout that journey, okay?
Okay.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're here, my brother DJ About Business. And this man, it's all about business and DJing. So we're super excited to have him on the show, man. So talk to me, man. Where did you go from there, that initial spot where you were thrown into the fire in front of 10,000 people and you kind of just were able to use that experience to launch yourself into the DJ world? Where did it go from there? And tell me a little bit about some of the things that happened after that.
So after that, man, it was like I still had no equipment. You know, it was all his stuff. So I was like, you know, I'm looking, I didn't know nothing about Serato, didn't know nothing about Virtual D, none of this stuff, man. So when we got back to Atlanta, we went to the club. I saw a cat rocking the club with just a laptop, no turntables, nothing. And I'm like, well, we had CDJs and all that back then, CDJs and Techniques. And I'm like, yo, how the world he rocking this club with no turntables? And so, man, that piqued my interest more. I did my research about the DJ software that was just easiest for me to use because I wasn't about to go buy a whole bunch of records and do all that stuff. I just wanted to get in there, get in the fire real quick. And so, man, I just did my research. And next thing you know, I was talking to everybody that I knew that was having a party or any kind of celebration. I'm like, yo, let me do your party. And I was doing it for free. I'm like, they're like, how much you gonna charge? I'm like, shoot, just throw me something. Because I wanted it that bad. You know what I'm saying? I wanted it that bad. It felt good. It felt good to create a journey, a musical journey for people and, you know, celebrate people at the same time. So I went from there. And so people started being like, yo, you do weddings, you do bar mitzvahs, you do this, you do that. I'm like, yeah, I ain't never did one ever in my life. But thanks to the internet, I started doing my research. And here I am, man, 16 years later.
Wow, brother. I like that, man. I think that's super important that you're able to walk in with confidence and you kind of not let anything discourage you from just going out there and doing it regardless if you have the experience or not. And that's super important because the confidence that you carry is really what's going to drive if you're successful or not. And by walking into that confidence, even if you don't know if you can do it, just having the confidence that, hey, I will do it.
I will do it.
It might not be, you know, what you expect. It might not be as planned out as you want it to be, but by just having the lack of fear to fail, you're able to walk into your purpose and really do a great job. And it seems like you've really done an amazing job just doing so, not being afraid to take risk. And that's what it's all about. What is your appetite for risk? Are you okay with going into something afraid? Are you okay with going into something without knowing the outcome? And if you are, you take on that challenge, a lot of times great things will come. Whether it's directly great things come out of the outcome or great things come from the learning lessons that you got out of taking the risk. Nonetheless, I believe that's going to come out great and it's going to work out if your heart's in the right place, if you really want to be a DJ, if you really want to succeed in this industry. So I'd love to talk to you, you know, what are some things that you were able to see in yourself that gave you that confidence to go forward? And how can DJs also get that confidence to just go forward and take risks?
Man, I guess the confidence started early. My mama always told me, you are somebody. She's like, whenever you walk in the room, you are somebody. She said, don't ever try to look down on yourself. Don't ever think because somebody else may have, you know, more status than you, that, you know, they are better than you. At the end of the day, you put your pants on like they put their pants on. And so, you know, I've always walked with that, you know, my whole life, that I realized that I am somebody. And what I am somebody to anybody else doesn't even matter. It starts here. Like you said, your heart got to be right. And if you know who you are and whose you are, you know what I'm saying? You don't have an issue or worrying about what people going to think, what they're going to say. You're going to go in there and do what you're supposed to do and do it to the best of your ability. And that's another thing, bro. I like anything I try to do, I try to give 110% at it. That way, if there is room to lack, then probably that 10%. And I still gave 100%. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, that's just, you know, how I live, man. And that's any situation, man. DJing, fatherhood, you know, business just in general. That's just how I live.
Yeah, man, I think it's super important, man. I love the way that you talked about how you got into the game and start talking about how you're able to do events just based on, hey, throw me whatever money that you think is right. And that kind of got you into transferring your hobby as a DJ into a career, something that's generating money. A lot of DJs struggle with that point from going from doing gigs for free to getting paid gigs. Walk us through the way that you were able to transition, because I liked how you articulated it, because most people don't really get how to transition and start charging people. So walk us through how you did it so other people have a model that they can adopt and make their own.
Yeah, man, I had a rude awakening. So I'm thinking I'm doing good. You know, it had got to a point I was getting paid $400 for 4 hours. I was like, yo, this is dope. Easy money. You know, we partying. Of course, it's us DJs. We get all the drinks we want, all of the food we want. So we get to meet different kind of people. And I'm like, yo, this is awesome. I get paid to do it. At the time, I was a teacher, though. So I was a teacher for 13 years. I taught special education. And my school had a dance. And so they hired a DJ to come do the dance. And the DJ here and there, he pressed the song, let it play all the way out. Just play another song, let it play all the way out. It's total different tempos. And I'm like, what the heck is this dude doing? Kids is getting mad. So I walk over to him. I'm like, hey, man. I said, can I see your setup? He was like, sure. So, I mean, his setup was completely different than anything I ever seen. But, you know, like I said, I was still kind of fresh in the game. So I asked him, I said, hey, can I try to DJ on your stuff? And he's like, do you DJ? I said, yeah, I do. And he was like, well, sure, go ahead. So I'm mixing a couple of songs on his stuff. And he's like, yo, you DJ for real? I'm like, yeah. Long story short, he asked me all the kind of equipment, what kind of events I've done, X, Y, Z. And he asked me how much I charge. And I told him $400 for 4 hours. And I went in there confident about it. I'm like, $400 for 4 hours? And he started laughing at me. Older white gentleman now. He bust out and started laughing at me. And I'm like, well, what's funny? And he was like, you got all this equipment you say you got. He said, and you DJ the way that you do. He said, and then you automatically took the microphone and started rocking with the kids. He said, I never even mentioned that to you. He said, you charging $400 for 4 hours? He said, I tell you what. He said, I got 50 other events for the rest of the year. He said, I'll pay you $600 to do them. He said, and I'll give every last one of them to you. So I'm looking at him like, what? I said, nah. He's like, I mean, you say you charge $400 for 4 hours. I said, he said, if I'm giving you $600, He said, then you almost had a 50% increase than what you used to charge it. So, also, my degrees are in accounting, right? I got a degree in accounting and business. So, I'm thinking money-wise. I'm like, yo, he knows something that I don't know. And so, I was like, yo, what's the catch? I was like, because obviously, you ain't just giving up a free $200. I said, so, obviously, you got to be making more. He said, and that's the point. He said, us, when you learn the business side of DJing, he said, you'll learn to buy back your time. He said, now, you're charging $400 to do these events. He said, and he said, you ever charge for a wedding? I said, yeah. He said, how much you charge for a wedding? I told him $700. He's like, well, let me tell you how much I charge for a wedding. He said, I charge $2,800. He said, and so while I'm out, he said, while you're out, you're doing four more weddings, I'm at home chilling. And he said, that's what you want to do. He said, a lot of times we waste so much money, we waste so much time, we lose so much time because we're out here trying to make so much money. We got to figure out how to buy back time. So he said, so you're doing four weddings to make the same $2,800 that I'm making for one wedding. He said, that means that's 4 hours to 5 hours per wedding times four. He said, that's 20 hours you got to spend to make what I make. He said, not encountering preparation, not encountering driving there, doing the event, breaking down, going back. He said, man, if you really want to make some money in this, he said, you got to figure out what your time is worth to you. Bro, when he told me that, it was like a light bulb came on. And then it made me realize, like, working for corporate America, I'm wasting time. So I was like, okay, I created me an exit plan to quit teaching and to figure out how to make this DJ thing a business instead of a hobby, because it was obviously a hobby to be doing it for $400 for 4 hours. It was a hobby. But now I run a full business, you know what I'm saying? And now I can be at home like I'm now, watching these folks do this stuff in my backyard right now, and I'm fine, you know.
Wow,
it was,
man.
It was a reality check when he told me, you know what I'm saying, he making $2,800 for a wedding, and here I am, probably the week before I had just charged $700 for a wedding. So I felt like crap, to be honest with you, but it was a rude awakening. And he did tell me, he said, everybody's not going to be your client. He said, everybody's not your client. He said, and what you're going to find is everybody who normally book you, he said, they're going to start fading away. He said, because your clientele is going to change. And he said, yeah, where it looks like you're always busy all the time, he said, you're not going to be as busy. He said, but your income is going to be way more than when you were as busy. He said, and that's when you learn the game of buying back your time. And he ain't lying to me, bro.
Man, I love it, bro. That's an amazing story. And thank you for sharing that. Because DJs need to hear this, because they don't understand about busyness is not equivalent to business. You could be as busy as you want, and if you're not making equivalent money that equates to why you're so busy, it's not worth your time. So please listen to this over and over, because that story was really amazing, and it really was fitting to what we discuss here on the My DJ Story podcast and what we're trying to build with the club. We see DJing as an amazing skill that needs to be monetized and needs to be used to make more money and to build your career from. And that's what we're here to help with. We really want DJs to be able to use their skill to make more money and to build their audience, to build their business, and to do it in a way where they're getting value out of their time. And I think that you figured it out tremendously. And I'm glad that you're able to be a full-time DJ and do something you love and have the flexibility that it gives you to just do whatever you want, but also, you know, make money and provide for yourself and your family. So I'm excited, man.
The flexibility and the peace is everything, bro. The peace to just decide if I want to work or not. You know, the flexibility to decide if I want to DJ in Atlanta or like, matter of fact, for instance, I was DJing Saturday. I got booked to DJ in Aruba. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, okay, you know, the flexibility to be like, yeah, I can go to Aruba. All expenses paid, you know, or I can stay here in Atlanta and still DJ in Atlanta. You know, just that flexibility is amazing. Because other than that, if I was working a 9-to-5, I got to go tell them, hey, I need some days off, or I got a fake sick. You know, not trying to do all that.
Yeah, man. And it's great that you're having a good time. You're having fun. You're making money. You're traveling. Like, you're really living the dream. And that's what I want for everyone that wants to be a DJ. Like, you're able to make it fit the mold of the life that you want for yourself. If you take the right steps, like my brother here, DJ About Business, he took the right step. You heard him. He meticulously created an exit strategy from his 9-to-5 into full-time DJing. You have to think this through, get the right skills, get the right tools to make it happen, and understand how to operate a business to live a life that's going to be fulfilling to you and be able to make you enough money to sustain the lifestyle you want to live, man. I love to hear, you know, when you were getting out there and just getting started with kind of that full transition, you know, what are some immediate steps you took to get the first, you know, next high paying gigs? You charted $700, but then what did you do next to kind of increase that amount?
So I raised my prices. So I went from $700 to $1,000. And so, because he told me when you raise my prices, he said, just raise them gradually till you get to a point of what you feel you worth that makes sense to leave home. So I went from $700 to $1,000 immediately. I started, once I made the exit plan for 2 years, I gave myself 2 years. I started doing as much networking as I could possibly. I was going to all the bridal shows. I was networking with different DJs in the club. I was networking with photographers. Anybody that was in the business that I wanted to be in, which we know most of the time, the way you're going to make the big bucks as a DJ is weddings and corporate events and, you know, bar mitzvahs and stuff like that. So in the arena that I didn't want to just, matter of fact, I just started DJing in the club maybe 3 years ago. And that was just on some, you know, looking at it like I got tired of my clients asking me, hey, where can we come see you DJ at? Because I was doing all private events. I'm like, you can't come to these people's events. So I started DJing in the club so people could come see me. And that's how I started getting more clients. But before that, I was doing all private events. And so I set myself up to network with people who was doing the kind of events that I wanted to do, which made sense for the kind of money I wanted to make for me to leave home. And so that's how I did it. I mean, I went full-fledged. And because of social media, and it made it a whole lot easier. You know, I was looking up everybody and, you know, whether I knew them or not, all these, what they call them, social gatherings and mixers and all of that. I really don't like going to that stuff, but I had to go. I had to put a name with a face, put my car in your hand, what we call it, kissing babies and rubbing feet. You know what I'm saying? I had to politic a little bit and come out of my comfort zone from doing things that I'm used to not doing to doing things I had to do to get me in the position of where I'm at. And that's the thing. I just had to quit being so selfish and come out of that selfish stage and just go do things that I didn't want to do.
Yeah, man, that's super important. The networking is super important. And this is exactly why your name is About Business. You know, like, I resonate with this story so much, brother. You have no clue. It's the story of my life. You know, I am technically an introvert. I don't technically like being out speaking to people and doing stuff. But as a person that's in love with business, I love business. You know, I love business so much. And I think that it's something that's super exciting and just second nature to me, that I realized that I have to speak to people. I have to be on interviews with DJs. I have to be out there if I want my business to strive. And this is what you need to do. You need to get out of your comfort zone and do the things that are needed for your business. So that way you can have the life that you want and it can thrive in the way that you need it to thrive. So I'm excited that you're telling the raw story of what it means to succeed one way or another. You got to do the work and that's got to happen, man. Talk to me a little bit more about your brand, DJ About Business. You know, how did you settle on that name? How did it come to be? And kind of what does that branding mean for you and your business?
So that name started, I got, like I said, my name, Daniel Jackson. And so every time somebody would send somebody to me or call me for a referral, they like, yeah, I got your number because they told me you about business. You know, so, or they sent me to you because they told me you about business. And I'm like, I kept hearing it over and over again. And so, you know, once I really decided I wanted to be a DJ, I'm like, okay. And I wanted to use something with my name, but I'm just like, and then, you know, my family, they call me DJ too. So it was like, okay, they already called me DJ, but I can't say DJ. So I'm like, okay. And then I was sitting here, you know, one day creating a playlist for something. And my guy, he called me. He was like, hey, let me ask you something, bro. He's like, how all the time you always about business? He said, do you ever have a play? Do you ever have a moment to just play? He said, you about business all the time. I said, hold that thought. Danger. Oh, okay. And I created my name just like that. Daniel Jackson About Business. And so, you know, that's how, you know, that's really how I got the name. The whole brand is just, you know, anytime somebody called DJ About Business, they know they're going to get from beginning to end, you know, from the time of consultation all the way to the end after your event is over. And then the follow-up email that comes behind it, you're going to get business from beginning to end. And so, you know, I just pride myself on that. You know, anytime somebody say DJ About Business, they already know, okay, we already know who you're talking about. And it's cool. I, like you said, we introverts. So, you know what I'm saying? With the popularity and the fame came, I'm just like, okay, you know, everybody's like, yo, this that guy who I was telling you about, but I'm just like, I'm just regular me, you know? But I mean, I'm grateful. I'm grateful, man. And I put in a lot of work for it to get to this point. And I'm grateful to have the name that when people say my name, you know, my name ain't being salted in a room full of people, you know, because I do what I'm supposed to do.
That's great, man. I love it, bro. And it's super fitting. And this is only the beginning. You're a young guy. You still got a lot ahead of you. So I'm super excited to see where you take your business and your brand, DJ About Business. And I think that's super cool with everything that you're doing, man. So talk to us about, you know, some of the things that you're focused on now and how myself, the club, our community can help and support you. I'm also curious about some of your plans for the future because I know you're a forward-thinking guy. So I'm super interested in thinking of what it is, some of your future plans.
All right, so before COVID, I was getting ready to open up an event venue. So I'm still working on that now, working up, because I mean, it's just so much easier to bring people to me than it is to, and then I can, you know, I got 9 DJs on my staff, I got sound techs. I mean, it's just so much easier for us to just have our own venue. And it's so much that I see going around the different venues. I'm like, man, if I had this venue, I would have did this. I would have did that. You know, I see sometimes how these venues treat the clients. I'm just like, yo, I'm a big customer service person. You know, I'm big on customer service. I want to treat them how I want people to treat me. I don't like being disrespected. I don't like being belittled. So I notice sometimes how these venue owners treat the clients. And I'm just like, yo, if I had my own venue, I would do stuff like this. So, man, yeah, definitely working on my own venue to host any kind of events. If I could find one in a great location, I would want to, like, indoor concerts type of style, like intimate type of situation. Like, I don't know if you've been in Atlanta, but a situation like City Winery or St. James, something of that nature. We got a limo service too. So, you know, a lot of times when we get, matter of fact, we just had the outside concert, drive-up concert here. We had Ruffins, Carl Thomas, all of them. So being that I work with a lot of promoters, they're like, yo, we need limo companies for, you know, these artists to come in. Well, that worked out for us because we got the limos. So we pick them up, take them around. That's outside money. I got drivers and those, so I don't even have to. I can be at home still, and I don't even have to do that. Of course, everybody's on the 360 photo booth. You know what I'm saying? Real right now. I'm on that, too. I'm on that wave right now, too. And that's a great revenue. That's a great revenue maker right now, definitely, because, like I said, everybody's on it. But what I really want to do is, I really want to, because my kids are getting older. I have 2 kids, a daughter. My daughter's getting ready to graduate from high school in 2 years, and she's just turned 16. My son is going to be 9. So I really want to be able to quit working so much, because I really literally been working. I just turned 37 on June 8th. And I literally been working since I was 8 years old. And so even at 8, I had 4 jobs, bro. No lie. So I really want to try to slow down, to be honest with you. But my brain won't let me because I'm always thinking of something. I'm a real estate agent, too. So, you know, once the market opens back up, right now it's a seller's market. And these house prices is high as giraffes right now. But, you know, once the market opens back up, man, I want to be able to, you know, incorporate commercial and entertainment together. So if I can figure out how to cooperate those two together, that'll be, you know, the best of both worlds, because I'm, you know, commercial real estate and I'm doing entertainment. If I could get that, then I think I've been unmatched my goal. So that's what I'm working toward. And then that allowed me to slow down too.
Awesome, brother. Hey, man, I love the way you think, brother. You're an innovator, entrepreneur, and truly just someone that loves to work hard and fulfill your dreams. So I'm a fan of you, man, and I want to help support you in whatever ways I can. So we'll definitely talk offline, and we'll definitely talk more to see what ways I can support you and we can get involved and work with each other, brother. So yeah, at this time, before we jump into our lightning round, do you have any parting piece of advice for any DJs that are out there trying to make it into the industry?
Yeah, man. One thing somebody always told me, don't confuse longevity with loyalty. And so a lot of times we be in situations where, you know, we think because we've been in those situations for a long time and we have the longevity of the situation, that the situation is loyal to us. Don't confuse the two, you know, because there's always greater. There's always a bigger picture. There's always, a light at the end of the tunnel. And it might sound cliche, but it definitely is always. And sometimes we stay in the situation and we're just looking straight ahead, not realizing there's a blessing on this side. And I realize there's a blessing on this side because we can walk straight forward. Like, yo, it's opportunity out here and it's endless. Don't ever let somebody else shoot down your dream, because it's not their dream, it's your dream. If your dream is to be a DJ, then guess what? You got to put in that work to do that. If your dream is to be a touring DJ, then guess what? You got to figure out what these other touring DJs doing that you're not doing. If your dream is to just go out here and DJ at all the hottest clubs, okay, you got to figure out what they've done to get into these clubs, to get yourself out there. You got to put in the work. At the end of the day, it's about putting in the work. And at the end of the day, it's about not being docile, standing still. You got to move. I don't know no other way else to tell you. You got to move.
Hey, man, that's really great advice. DJs, listen to my brother. He knows what he's doing, has built success for himself, and he's about that business. So appreciate you, man. We're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
All right.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Okay. Hardware, I'm running Mac, 2017 Mac, Big Sur, Virtual DJ 8, 2021. My go-to would be my Serato, my Pioneer DDJ SD. That would be my go-to. That's hardware and setup. Definitely a QSC and EV club. Those are my go-to.
Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ guy, bro. You know what? To be honest with you, I don't even have one. No lie. Sorry. I don't have a favorite DJ.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and what made it special?
Favorite party, man, probably my mama's 60th birthday, man, because it was crazy. My mom was like, yo, I want to do a party. And she had been talking about a party forever, never had one. And so she was like, and I want you to DJ it. I was like, okay, cool. And she's like, well, what you going to charge me? I'm like, mom, I'm not charging you, my mama. She was like, no. She's like, you run a business. You have children. She's like, I'm going to pay you like I would pay somebody else. And I'm like, nah, mom, I'm not letting you do that. She's like, well, it's either you let me pay you or don't come to my party. So I'm like, what? You know what I mean? How you going to do that? You know? And so I think it really put things into perspective that if my mama can pay me, y'all going to pay me. You know what I mean? The lady who birthed me is invested in my business. And she wants to pay me my, she wouldn't even let me get a discount on that. So she's like, give me what you pay for everybody else. And, you know, after the party was over and on down the road, eventually I gave her back all that money. She don't realize it, but I did. But just to have to the point where my mom's like, no, you run a business, son, and you're good at what you do. And so I'm going to pay you what your rates are. I think, man, we had so much fun, man. And my mom is a pastor. So you see all these pastors in here trying to be, you know, all holy and then the art. But, you know, I'm in there like, yo, y'all didn't come to sit down at my mama party. Yo, we finna party. And just to see all the people who we knew was going to sit down up on the dance floor, man, having a good time, forgot that it was pastors. Man, that was straight for me, bro. You know, and like I said, we celebrated my mama. But, you know, just to be able to hear, and I tell people all the time, music is universal. Music has a language. And so it's up to us to help people to remember what they were when this song came out. And so a lot of them pastors, they were just sitting there all dignified. When I dropped them hits on them, they was like, yo, we can't even help it no more. And and that's how it should be at all situations, you know?
Name some of the best places to party in your city.
Oh, best places to party. Man, let me tell you. Magic City, of course. Magic City. I like Atlantis. Shameless plug. I DJ at Sage Wilfire Tavern in Perimeter. Matter of fact, me and my crew, we DJ there on Fridays and Saturday nights, Sage Woodfire Tavern in Perimeter. Crave ATL, that's owned by Who Is Big Snoop and 2 Chainz. We out there too. If I just had to want to go somewhere to just kick back type of rooftop vibes, I go to Rehab. Rehab got a dope rooftop vibes. Sweet Lounge got dope rooftop vibes. Food's good. If I wanted to go somewhere, just get straight ratchet down the dirty, Central Station. Central Station is my go-to. Central Station, yeah, definitely my go-to because everything else closed right now. Central Station Josephine's Lounge. Central Station Josephine's Lounge gonna give me my ratchet. Central Station definitely is gonna give you the ratchet, but Josephine is gonna give you your ratchet plus a side of your island too. So I guess it all depends on. And then if I'm in the mood for live music, because I am a musician, you got the patio, you got Atlantis, you got Club Theory, you got Atlanta Cigar. The cigar spots is getting huge down in Atlanta. Like everything is happening at the cigar spot. So you got Atlanta Cigar Club, you got Cigar City. So I mean, if I'm in the vibes for some live music, 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna go to a cigar spot because that's where the live bands be.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
One thing that is missing? I guess the disconnect between the licensing. That's a major thing. Like even with all the lives I did on Facebook, I'm still getting hit up by Warner Brothers and all of them. Like, hey, you didn't have a license for this, and you didn't have a license for that. And I just think, like, you know, well, especially us who, you know, I don't buy YouTube. I don't rip off YouTube. I buy every, and I got at least 3 million songs, bro. Every song that I got is purchased from either iTunes, Amazon, or a record pool. You know what I'm saying? I'm a member of 6 record pools. So I wish that, you know what I'm saying, with some kind of licensing on it, that they can see that we buy these songs. And so when we're spending live, we don't have to always put that whole content thing up. I do not own the rights to this XYZ crap. Because, I mean, sometimes we just forget to do that. You know what I'm saying? And then we got to go to an old post, try to find it and copy and paste. And then you got to deal with your live stream being muted. I think that's crazy. I think it should be a way where just like, if you play somebody music, they know how many times you done played it. I think it should be a way for the licensing as well, for them to know that we got it from a reputable source, Tidal or iTunes or Amazon or whatever.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Man, matter of fact, DJ Los, he the one who got me connected with you. DJ Los, but shout out to my man DJ Ambition, my man DJ 100 Grand, my man DJ Quest, DJ G Nice, DJ Eminem, DJ Nutty the Champ. Man, there's so many of my boys, man. DJ New Era, DJ Tainted, man, I can go on a whole list of my guys that DJ Slim J, DJ Sticks, I mean, even my old school heads that kept me up on my business. DJ Swift, man. Swift is a touring DJ, man. DJ Shaquem. Got to give honorable mention to DJ JC, man. He one of the coldest scratch DJs out here in Atlanta. I mean, well, he be all over the place, but DJ JC, Jason Reed, man, he the truth. DJ Candy. Let me give some shout outs to my female DJs, man. DJ Candy, DJ Lachey, DJ Naturel, DJ Kale Davis. I mean, like, these people are people who, like, we talk to each other, we lift each other, we help each other out in business. Like, we got a real camaraderie, genuinely, you know, for each other. Because a lot of times, man, people just be beefing all the time. Like, I don't have no beef with none of these people who I'm naming. I call them right now, they call me right now. And, I mean, we support each other's events. So, yeah, man, that's who I rock with. I'm trying to think who I left out. I probably left out a bunch more people, but you know, I know I ain't.
Hey, man, that was great, bro. We look forward to hearing their stories one day on the show. And any DJ that's interested can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Man, you can find me at online, Instagram, DJ About Business, ATL, DJ ABOUT, BUSINESS, ATL. Twitter is the same thing. Facebook is the same thing. My website, djaboutbusiness.com. Most of the time, matter of fact, this Friday I'm at Sage Woodfire Tavern. This Friday, Perimeter, it's the only location right across the street from Perimeter Mall here in Atlanta. I'm at Sage. If you want to come pull up on me, we partying all night from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. and I'm there.
Awesome, brother. Hey, this has been an amazing interview, man. You're a man of many talents and I love the way you think as a business-minded guy. So great job on the interview, man. Appreciate you spending time with us, man, and we look forward to seeing you in the club, man.
Thank you. Salute, man. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story Podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.